with American Songwriter, we had the opportunity to talk to Dilip and Othello over Zoom video. Dilip and Othello have both worked with some of the biggest names in hip-hop. They've amassed millions upon millions of streams, gold and platinum records. They've worked with Lil Pump and Lil Tecca, Roddy Ricch, Soulja Boy, just to name a few. And they have a brand new project together and a new tape out called Late Year. So check that out and check out the interview with myself, Othello, and Dilip on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bringing Back Pod.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Dilip and Othello. Cool. So this podcast is about your guys' journey in music, how you got to where you are now, and of course, the new project you have collectively. So I'm sure you have probably a little bit different stories before you met. So I'd love to hear your individual stories and then kind of how you guys met, and we'll talk about the new record as well.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll just start. Well, cool. We've both been working on music for a long time. We both come from like a pretty musical background. Like, I grew up playing a lot of Indian classical instruments, like drums and stuff like that. And then I was always in like band class. So making music was just kind of natural for me. And then by the time I got to like high school, I started to really like collaborate online with like really talented people. And that's where I met Othello. And once we started working together a lot, we eventually like moved to LA together, and we've just been working ever since. And we were just like, at that point, we had so much music together. We were just like, we got to do something with this. Something. Like, you know,
yeah. where were you born and raised?
I was born in the Bay Area.
Cool. San Jose. What part? Yeah. Oh, San Jose. Right on. Nice. What about you, Othello? Where were you born?
Yeah. So I was born in Massachusetts. Just like Dilip. My parents just sort of introduced me to a lot of music, especially my mom, because she's a pastor. So gospel music was like all over the house.
Sure.
And I never really grew an interest in playing instruments, but I did play instruments, which I think definitely benefited me in just having a passion for music later on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we met through we definitely met through SoundCloud, mm-hmm. through a mutual friend named Yugi Boy, and like we just collaborate online, and then we were able to meet each other. I went to the Bay for our show, and from then we just like formed a friendship, and a couple years later we moved to LA, and like here we are now.
That's cool. So both of you started off on SoundCloud.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
What was the – you said you talked about learning drums and stuff. What was the first stuff you started putting online? What kind of
music? Yeah, I was honestly, like, putting up mostly just, like, rap beats and, like, just, like – I mean, a lot of it was kind of influenced by, like, I guess, like, the Indian, like, music background that I had. Mm-hmm. And then I started to get more into, like, just different genres and, like, kind of, like, diversifying my sound a little bit more. Because once, like, SoundCloud was literally the place where, like, you could hear everything. Like, there was so much stuff out there, and it was all good. Like, you would just see people, like, sharing, like, really good music, and I was just, like, inspired by that.
That's cool. What about you, Othello? How did you first start putting up music?
It's hard for me to remember, but I think, like, the first music I was trying to make was like EDM music.
Okay.
And it sucked, but that was kind of how I wanted to start posting music online, was just like listening to EDM artists and just electronic music. And I found GarageBand in high school and just would fool around with it. And then once I realized you could post stuff on SoundCloud, I would just post stuff there.
Were you like singing over it? Cause you're the vocalist, right? For the group or no?
I mean, I would say like a vocalist, like, yeah, I sing on
like some of my tracks. Right?
Yeah. I wouldn't say I'm a good singer, but I mean, anybody can sing. So like, yeah, I did do vocals on the Make It Count song, but no, I never like started singing on my tracks.
Oh, so you both were doing kind of just instrumental,
yeah, instrumental stuff.
Like,
yeah,
it was mostly instrumental. There were a few parts with like some vocal stuff. Like I even threw a little like lick in there, just like singing. Like I don't even sing either, but just like we would just do stuff for fun like that.
That's cool. And then it just you ended up just finding each other. Like, tell me a little bit about that. I feel like that's such a, like, I've heard this story where people are like, yeah, on SoundCloud it started blowing up, but it's like how you were just kept pushing songs up there, and then eventually,
yeah, I mean, I think like 6 years ago when SoundCloud was really like popular, mm-hmm. People were just posting a lot of music, and you were just able to find a lot of good music because with the repost feature, like it was just a very like community feel with it. Like you were just meeting people on DMs and like reposting songs that you liked and finding new music and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So like when we were posting music, we didn't really think it was going to do anything, but like, I guess people just kind of like gravitated towards it and like reposting, and like, that just kind of how it like organically happened. Like, we started getting traction through there.
What was, do you remember, yeah, a certain song, both of you, I guess, what was the song, or do you remember the moment when you started seeing real numbers?
You want to go ahead?
I think for, it was very gradual, but I think a song I posted called Depression was probably like the song where a lot more people started listening to my music. But, I mean, that was a minute ago. I would probably say that's like the one thing I could think of.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, for me, I think it was also pretty gradual. Like, it wasn't like right away people were like all like listening and stuff.
Right.
But I guess the song that really popped it off for me was Dots. It was like, mm-hmm, it's like a hard like Indian influence trap song thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's cool. And well, how do, like, for example, like, I mean, you guys worked with a ton of big names. I mean, I'm looking at Gucci Mane, Lil Tecca, and Roddy Ricch, and Soulja Boy. Like, what was the first like opening that you guys had gotten to work with some of these big names?
I would say collaboration, just like SoundCloud. Just, I mean, just pretty much it was all collaboration. I mean, for me at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, same for me. Just working with producers that were already in the industry and working with those artists, that's pretty much how we got our way in. But there was also like artists on SoundCloud that I've, you know, I'm still friends with today who are doing pretty well, mm-hmm, like Toby Lou.
Okay.
You know, like smaller artists, but like still doing the thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of artists, or like the, some of those lo-fi artists like Pow Fu and those guys are all came out of SoundCloud too, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, which is crazy.
Yeah, lo-fi was, I feel like it started on SoundCloud. Like,
right.
That, yeah.
I know. It's crazy. Like how that whole genre kind of spun out of that. And now, mm-hmm, it's like,
it's massive. Like huge. Yeah, exactly.
That's really cool. What was like, was it like, who was the first artist? Do you remember like the first cut you guys got like with a bigger artist that like kind of did something?
I think for me, it was Toby Lou. I helped him produce this song called Troop featuring Smino. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of like, it wasn't huge, but it was like the first, like, I guess, like artist that was like I produced for, you know, because before, yeah, then I was just like putting out songs on SoundCloud, just no like remixes and just, you know, random stuff like that. But
how, yeah, was it producing with like somebody like that? Was it just, how did that work? Did you have beats ready or like?
Yeah. So for that song in particular with Toby, most of the time he has like ideas already ready, and like he knows exactly what he wants. So he'll send me an idea over and just like give me pointers on what he wants added or changed or anything like that. And then that's, mm-hmm, kind of how we worked. We just kept going back and forth, you know, tweaking that song until it was like, we were, right, both happy with it. Yeah.
That's cool. What about you, Othello? Do you remember like working with somebody and that process?
I never really worked like the Toby Lou. I'm pretty sure the Toby Lou placement that Dilip got was really like hands on. Mm-hmm. I guess like compared to, I think mine was like Lil Skies, and we just sent out the beats. Wow. But yeah,
You sent it out, and then they chose to use that?
Yeah.
That must have been a cool moment. Was that a pretty big moment for you?
It was. Yeah, it is. It still is for me. Yeah, and it was, I think. Yeah.
Like, tell me about that. Like, did you get an email? Or, like, how did you find out that he was going to – that Lil Skies was going to use your stuff?
I'm trying to remember. I think it was just through – because the placement was through a collaboration. So the person I collaborated with just hit me up through text, like 2 weeks before the songs came out. And that's pretty much how I found out.
That's cool. That's really cool. And then how with that, like, were you guys producing separately, like with Lil Tecca and Gucci Mane and all these other artists, were those things that you guys had both individually worked on prior to coming together for the new record?
A lot of them, I think, we had a couple like collabs that, with like artists before then too. Like the one with Gucci and Lil Skies, that was both me and Othello, and like the Soulja Boy songs were also collabs. So yeah, we had a couple of songs together already, like under our belt.
Wow.
Before we decided to do the tape.
That's cool. Like, I mean, getting Soulja Boy, those people to get on board, that must have been huge.
Yeah, that was actually
it was really fun too.
Cause yeah, he actually come to the studio. We were living in Burbank at the time. And he came through, and we were just playing beats and like vibing, and he was just like, he was going crazy. We knocked out like 9 songs in a night, and he liked all of them. Like,
wow,
awesome.
That's cool. Like, so you had all the beats ready, or how do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think every artist is different when you work with them. Some artists, you know, they are very like they just want to run through a lot of beats. So like having beats ready is always like default. I need to just have beats ready when I come into a session. Mm-hmm. But like a lot of artists, they also want to just make a beat from scratch with you while you're in the session. So that's honestly, it's a little bit more, I guess, stressful in that sense, because like you just had to come up with something on the spot. But
yeah,
a lot of the times it's more rewarding, because like what you make in that moment is like a lot more special than just like a beat that you would just, you know, make for a pack for a session or whatever, you know?
Sure. Wow. Like that must be, so they'll come in and be like, okay, I want like this style drum beat. And you go, okay, let me figure that out.
Yeah. Like, or they'll just be like, they just be like, yeah, like just give you like, I want some like, just some hard shit or something, like they'll just say something
like that narrows it down.
Yeah, like, okay, cool.
Have to play to what you think. Do you have to kind of cater to what sound they already sort of have?
Yeah, like, or? You kind of have to go off their vibe, like what their feel, how they're like, you got to go off their energy. That's really all I can say. Like, it's I can't really explain it better than that. It's just when you meet them and see how they're feeling, like you can kind of just tell what they're in the mood for, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Well, you guys have got like gold records and platinum, you know, records. Like, tell me about those moments. That must be like so wild. You guys are in your early 20s and you have like achieved more than people have been doing this for their entire lives.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really cool. Like that our music is even like reaching people in that, in that level.
Yeah.
I don't really know what else to say about that. I'm grateful. Like, sure. It's awesome, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Do you remember getting what was the first plaque you got, and how cool was that to open it up?
I can go. The first plaque I got was Skies. And honestly, like, yeah, it's just really a grateful moment, just to see like your hard work come to fruition.
Yeah,
that's all I could really say.
<That's cool. laughs> Yeah, I mean, it's dope. Like, I just think the more we work, the more is on the way. I just like, yeah, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so cool. I can't imagine getting that package in the mail and being like opening it and seeing, you know, like you said, all your hard work and your name on there, and you got the platinum record. Like, that's so surreal. That's so cool.
We actually haven't ordered any. Like, the thing is, when you get a plaque, you have to pay for the plaque. So we actually haven't gotten the plaques like in the mail yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
so you have
to
like, they just send you a slip and say, you can pay us for this.
Yeah. I don't actually know exactly how it works, but I think it's something like that. Yeah.
That's funny. Mm-hmm. So if you're an artist like Taylor Swift, you have to pay for like all 4,000 of the plaques.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you're Taylor Swift, like the label will probably take care of that. Yeah.
They'll pay for it for you. That's cool. So you guys met in the Bay Area. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about when did you guys meet? You had been collaborating online a bit and then you decided to meet up.
Yeah. I mean, Othello came over. We had a show. Our friend Julius set it up. And I mean, we were just working out of my house, literally like in my living room. And we like stayed up all night and made like 3 songs and put them all out like on SoundCloud like within the next week, and they all like kind of went crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, that was fun. I remember that very vividly. Like we just stayed up all night like making, no, not even like just one night, like it was like a couple nights we just stayed up and just made like 3 songs and then posted them a week later.
Wow. And then those, and is that what became the EP or no?
No, that was this was like 3 years ago, I think.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
It was just, I didn't know if you just recently collaborated. Okay. Yeah. So 3 years ago, you guys get together and you do those songs and then they start doing really well on SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, do you just continue putting out music together? Like,
yeah, we put out a couple singles before the tape. We didn't decide to like go with like a pseudonym like late year like we do now. We were just kind of putting stuff out, you know.
Okay, so late year was just that became a collection, or was that a project you guys worked on and were like, okay, we need to put a record out or a tape out?
Go ahead.
Yeah, it kind of came in like after we had the music. We were kind of just like, oh, we should have it under a group name. But we, like, while we were making the music, we weren't really thinking like, oh, we're gonna have a whole group thing.
Oh, it was just kind of just you guys were
spontaneously
doing it. Wow. And the record just came out, right? Like last week or something, or Friday? Or...
Yes.
Yeah,
2 days.
Friday.
2 days. Yeah, Friday. What is it?
Monday.
Wow. That must have been a big moment, right?
Yeah.
I mean, seeing all your hard work and then you're putting it out to the world and response.
I've been sitting on that music for like a good like 7 months, I want to say, because we were just waiting for the right time to like release it, because like there was a lot of like, you know, the world was going through a lot last year, so we felt like it was necessary to just wait a little bit before we like dropped the music. But we were really excited to, you know, finally put it out. We spent a lot of time and effort to make these songs. Mm-hmm. And I'm just glad that it's out right now.
Yeah. And with that, you said you've been sitting on the songs for a while. Where were you guys at, like, right before, like, you know, the pandemic hit in March of last year? Like, prior to that, like, how did that affect you guys, you know, personally, and how did that affect your music?
I would say session-wise and just meeting people in person, it definitely had an impact on that just because of quarantine. But music-wise, just making music in our rooms, I feel like for me, it hasn't really changed that much because I'm just always making music in my room.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would say like the more like meeting people in person and like working just in person definitely was a big change.
Is the vibe different when you're like, are you doing writing sessions over like Zoom and stuff?
Oh yeah. We could do like, I've had a couple sessions over Zoom. It's different, but it's still a lot better than just like sending ideas through email.
You get more like in real time, like, you know,
feedback. Yeah.
Feedback is the word I was going for. Yeah. So instead of sending a song and then waiting to see what they think and then getting it back and forth, you're actually here in the moment going, here's the song. That's cool. What about you for you, Dilip? Is it similar?
I mean, I think, well, we both live together. So for us, like, for us like, working together, it didn't really affect much. And in fact, it probably like helped us lock in a little bit more because we were like forced to be in the house, you know? But I mean, yeah, I do think like with everything that was going on, like it was taking a little bit of a toll on my mental, like just seeing the news and stuff like that. But I just try to stay away from like looking at social media and the news so that I could just, you know, stay inspired and motivated.
Yeah, was it? I'm sure it gets hard to be inspired after a certain amount of time staring at the same walls. You're like, okay, I need to like get outside and experience something.
Yeah, for real.
Was did you like putting out the record on your own? Like, do you enjoy the collaborating, or like, is it different putting out an album on your own that's all your guys's versus, you know, doing a beat or doing something for Lil Tecca or whatever? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Is it more rewarding with putting out your own songs, or?
I think it's different. I wouldn't say it's like more rewarding, but it does take a lot more time to do like our own music, at least for me. I know like, but making music for artists is a lot faster.
Do you feel like it's because you don't have, it's not as personal to you because you know you're giving it away?
Or? Oh, well, I don't know if it, not that. I would just like literally like, because I know our songs, like some songs will have like 200 tracks or something. Oh, wow. But then like for a beat, there'll be like 8 tracks.
I think that really does have to do with how personal it is also, because I just feel like with an artist, like you kind of have to cater to what they want. Mm-hmm. And like it, but when we're working on our own music, it's like, it's very, we could just do whatever we want. And it's like, we get to really like hone in on what we want to do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like with your own song, sometimes you can like over analyze and overproduce them?
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Is it like you do too much and kind of have to strip it back, or?
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly what we do. Yeah. We throw a bunch of ideas at the wall, and whatever sticks we keep, whatever is too much, we take it out. Whatever we want to change, we'll do all that.
That's cool. I was going to ask you, with, you know, you're writing for other people and having your own songs, are there beats or project or, you know, pieces of music you put together and you know, like, okay, I'm not giving this beat away. Or is it like, okay, this, I know this is sick and it would work perfect for Lil Pump, or I don't know, whatever. Do you have those moments?
I do. I honestly do, but I try not to do that because I feel like it's better to just wherever the music should go, like just let it happen, you know? Like I try not to hold beats like that because it's just not, I don't know. I just feel like it's better to just let everything go, you know? Because I'm always making music, so there's always going to be more, you know what I mean?
Yeah. How are you, Othello?
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Cool. Yeah, I didn't know, because I've talked to some artists that are like, yeah, I don't really want to give this one away, you know?
Yeah, no, I feel like I'm more like that than Othello. I feel like Othello's more just like, he'll let everything go, you know? But I'm more like, I'll get a little like, you know, I don't need to hold this or whatever.
Sure. Yeah. I don't want to give it away.
Yeah.
Well, with this, with the new record that you guys just put out, is this something that you would plan on, you know, touring, or like, do you guys do a lot of live shows still? I mean, prior to the pandemic, obviously, and how would that work?
Yeah. I mean, we were doing a couple of shows before the pandemic, just like little shows in LA and stuff like that. But I mean, our goal is to, you know, eventually start touring off this music and, you know, doing like festivals and stuff like that. I mean, it's just whenever that opens up again. I don't know how soon that's going to be, but I mean, up until then, I mean, we've been doing like virtual sets, which is kind of cool.
You enjoy those?
Yeah.
How does that go? It's just, are you guys, well, you said you live together, so that makes it kind of easy, right? If you're in the same room.
Yeah. I mean, for virtual sets, it's like usually either they're pre-recorded, so you don't have to really like worry about like being
issues.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And all that stuff. So I mean, it's pretty chill. I mean, it's obviously not going to be the full experience of like being at like a live show, like in person, but I mean, it's something better than nothing, you know?
Right.
In quarantine,
do you like set up a thing, or like how do you
yeah, well, we have a green screen in our house, yeah, so we just do
oh it. Cool,
yeah,
that's cool, very cool. Was what would you say your guys like, do you have like a moment where you're like, this is like a total rock star moment, like, wow, I can't believe I'm sitting with Soulja Boy, like, was the, what, do you remember like the first like rock star moment you had?
I can't really. I mean, I guess that's probably one. The Soulja Boy session. Yeah, like I was definitely like, that's like he's an icon. You know, mm-hmm. I was just like, this is crazy.
I'm in the same room as this guy working on his record. That's wild. Say, so what about you, Othello? Same.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
The Soulja Boy.
Yeah, I can't really. I can't really think of any other moment other than just like producers that I've met or been able to work with.
Mm-hmm. That's cool, though. Still, I mean, what about like when you worked with Roddy Ricch and Lil Tecca? Were those in session? Were you in studio with those guys, or were those things that you had submitted to them and then they like top lined over it? Like, how did that work with those artists?
The Tecca songs were in session. The ones that did release, the Roddy Ricch song, I think it was a PNB rock song that Roddy Ricch was featured on, was just a send out.
Okay.
Yeah, that was fun. The Tecca sessions were fun. They were in New York and we just had a studio for a week and we just cooked up there, and yeah, it was fun.
That's cool. That's really cool. Like, I mean, those guys have just, within the past year or two, have just gotten so big. I mean,
yeah, it's good to see.
Like the biggest songs on the radio. I mean, Roddy Ricch wasn't the Box is like the biggest song of 2019, yeah. I believe. I mean, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And just to have those credits, that must be pretty awesome, pretty validating.
Yeah, for sure.
That is so cool. Well, what are you guys, what's next for you after this mixtape? I mean, or the tape that's going, you just put it out, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the plan to promote it? Are you going to do more live sessions? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're just going to keep making music and releasing probably like singles and just have more follow-up music to keep building it up. And like hopefully we have like ideas for like maybe doing like animation, like an animation series.
Oh, cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, Adele, you have anything?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm definitely excited for the new music and especially like adding a visual aspect to things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think just dropping consistently and like continuing to push ourselves is the goal for like moving forward.
Nice. Do you have any, like, are you guys working with any artists right now? Like on songs that haven't come out, or are you working with people currently?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm working, right now, I'm working a lot with Toby Lou and this artist from Detroit named Z Loopers. He's really cool. Another, like a lot of smaller artists I'm starting mm-hmm. to work with. That I think are really dope and I see have a lot of potential, you know?
That's awesome. That'll be rad when you start seeing these people like, you know,
yeah,
bubble to the top. That'll be great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, of course. I do have one more question for both of you. I want to know if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
I would say, For me, like advice that I wish I had starting out would just be to really just have fun with everything and not really take things too seriously. Not really try to overthink things, but just always keep learning and just working with people that you love to work with and that inspire you. And yeah, I feel like that's advice I would give.
Yeah, for me, I would say definitely stay inspired by, you know, just living life and having experiences. And it's okay to take a break. You know, I feel like a lot of musicians, artists, they feel like they need to just pound their head in and just keep creating, making music all the time. But it's like taking a break sometimes is definitely crucial to keep your mind like strong and all that stuff.